Thanks, Amelin and David. Welcome to everyone. It's great to have you here at St Andrews, and my name is Ian, if you haven't met me before. We're going to look at that particular passage, and there'll be some also slides with sections of the passage showing. Now, Easter is one of those times when we know the story very well, don't we? And yet there's also aspects that we haven't thought much about. We know, for example, that Jesus died on Friday and then was alive again on Sunday. That's well known. Most of us know that story. But there are other bits that are a bit of a mystery. And I was asked this week, what does Maundy mean? As in Maundy Thursday. I didn't know. I had to look it up. And here is where I got the meaning from. It comes from an Anglo-French word, which comes from a Latin word, from which we get mandate. It's Jesus commanding his disciples, mandating his disciples to love one another. And he demonstrates that in the washing of the feet, and hence today is called Maundy Thursday. And I'm praying that this Easter for you will be a mixture of things that you know and things that you don't know, and that it comes together so in a different way, in a greater way, we will serve our Lord because of this Easter. So there are two things to talk about today, something to learn and something to do. And there are sub-points under each of those headings. Firstly, something to learn. And we see that clearly in verses 2 and 3. There's a side plot about to be happening, apart from Jesus washing the disciples' feet. His betrayal is near. The devil is involved. Evil plot. Involving Judas, one of his closest friends. And this man Judas is about to betray Jesus. This man is eating with Jesus and will have his feet washed by Jesus. And yet we see in verse 3, Jesus says, it's cool, really. I'm under control. I'm in control here. I know what's happening, and it's time. The hour has come. It's all part of God's plan. We see here very clearly the lordship of Jesus. He is in control, even though someone is trying to undermine him. Second thing we learn, not only is he Lord, but he's humble Lord. Here is the Lord Almighty. Here is the ruler of time and space and the universe, past and present, future. He is the most powerful being in all of everything. And yet he's humble. He takes off his outer garment. Now, when other human leaders do that, then they want to show off their six-pack and carry a rifle or a hunting equipment. Because we humans want to show our power. And it might, don't mess with me, my country, or me. Vladimir Putin, if you don't know who that is, just been re-elected yet again. See how different Jesus is. He is Lord, and yet he's humble. Here is an awesome Saviour who takes off his clothes not to show off his six-pack, but to wash his disciples' feet. He does a job that even the lowest of slaves would have trouble doing. There's pecking order in slaves, and the bottom rung gets to wash feet. Dirty, smelly feet that have been stepping in cow or animal poo and wee. Dirty and dusty. He takes off his outer garment and does that. We wouldn't expect a king to do that, or a queen to do that, or a prince or a princess to do that. We wouldn't expect a governor or a president or a CEO or a prime minister. They serve in other ways, much more dignified. But no, Jesus, the Lord of all, the humble, humble Lord, takes off his clothes and washes his disciples' feet. And this is a symbol of what he's about to do on the cross. By his death. He's the humble, saving Lord as well. He comes to save. You see the setting of the event there in verse 1? It's the Passover. We've just finished a series on Exodus. The Passover, the time when God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. The mighty God versus the mighty Pharaoh, and the mightiest mighty God won, of course, not Pharaoh. They were brought through with plagues. And the last plague, the death of the firstborn, judgment on those who didn't take our way, God's way of salvation. That is, to kill an animal, a lamb, a perfect lamb, and sprinkle it across the doorpost. Jesus is the Passover lamb here. Jesus is in that setting of the Passover, God's saving work for his people. At the first Passover, there was judgment against the Egyptians and salvation for those who are God's people, who listened and obeyed. In this new Passover, there is only salvation offered to humanity. No judgment on humanity. Rather, this time the judgment falls on Jesus, the one who does not deserve it, like the lamb whose blood was sprinkled to protect the people with inside. So Jesus' blood is about to be sprinkled as he serves as the humble, saving Lord. And he washes the feet of his friends and his friend who is about to turn an enemy. We see that in verses 4 and 5. Notice he's washing his friend's feet and the one who's about to betray him. He's washing the one who's about to deny him three times. He's washing the ones of the feet who are about to flee and run away for fear of their own lives when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples did not deserve their rescue. We don't deserve our rescue. But Jesus is the Lord, the humble Lord, the saving Lord who serves. We have a question now. Are we going to accept that salvation? Because it was available in the first century and it's available in the 21st century. For he has served you. He served the whole world. But we have to choose to accept his saving. So it's something we learn from Jesus. And something now we must do, my second point. You notice that Peter and Jesus have quite a bit of a discussion. Peter, speaking aloud for all the disciples, as Jesus comes to wash his feet, says, no, Jesus, that's not your job. You're the Lord, you're the Master. It's me who should be washing your feet. But no, Jesus says, and we see that in these next verses, how clear it is, how important it is that Peter allowed Jesus to wash his feet. That Jesus is the one who's about to save on the cross, and Peter must let Jesus save him. Peter must show that he's vulnerable, he's reliant, he's dependent upon Jesus' death and resurrection. And so must we. We must make that choice to say, yes, I want to trust you, Jesus. I know our pride struggles with that, doesn't it? It says, no, I want to do something to earn my salvation too. Or we say, yeah, I'm here for the free ride, but I'm not going to let it change my life. So not only do we have to notice and accept and allow Jesus' death and resurrection for us, we also now need to be changed by it because he has died for us. And now we must serve as he has served us. Let's have a look at what he says in verses 13, 15, and 17. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly, for so it is, that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Learned about Jesus and learned about his salvation, and now we must respond. And the way we respond is not going to the cross, thankfully, but we go by serving. And we're about to have an opportunity of serving each other by washing one another's feet. As just a little window of a way to serve, to show love. And that won't do enough, just washing your feet once a year. We've got to show real love, true love. Because remember, Maundy, the commandment, the mandate, to love one another as I have loved you. And the next verse is, by this all people will know that you are my disciples by the way you love. So how can we love? Actually, one of the ways is by saying hello, talking, smiling, shaking hands, sharing the peace, greeting one another, gathering together in a big group like a church or a small group, praying for one another. Even if you don't know them or know their need, if you see the need, helping them. Sometimes it's difficult to love. But that's what makes it love, isn't it? Because you will love because, even though they're difficult, because love is so important. Rick Warren famously said this: God teaches us to love by putting some unlovely people around us. Remember, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, the one who betrayed him, the one who denied him, the one who flee from him. And also, very helpfully, Mother Teresa said this: not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. We've been given an example of both great things and great love, and we're called to respond in loving service with great love, even if it's just washing one another's feet. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are and what we learn about you in this passage from John chapter 13, that you are Lord and you are humble and you save us and you serve us. Help us now to accept what you have done for us so we respond in repentance and faith and throughout our lives in loving service. Help us, Heavenly Father, because sometimes it's not easy to love. But we thank you for the example of Jesus and the work of the Spirit in our lives so that we will love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, what we're going to do is give you time to come and wash one another's feet. So I'd like you to just come in the middle and you can pair up with the person in front of you or beside you and then kind of walk up to the front here. I'm going to show you how to do it by washing Darren's feet. And let's just do one foot because otherwise it'll take a long time, and then you can swap feet. Swap positions, don't swap feet. So Darren.